This episode is brought to you by Rev1. Rev1's mission is to help entrepreneurs build great companies. As you navigate the waters of business entrepreneurship, you don't have to go it alone. A strategic partnership with Rev1 connects innovators to the talent, customers, space, and funding you need when you need it. Get started with Rev1 Startup Studio by visiting rev1ventures.com to learn more. Again, the website is rev1ventures.com. Support for the 614 Startups podcast comes from Nationwide. Nationwide's mission is to protect people, businesses, and futures with extraordinary care. To help fulfill that mission, Nationwide is looking to invest its $350 million venture capital investment fund in InsurTechs that will help them create new and exciting products and solutions to meet the needs of their customers. If you're interested in partnering with Nationwide's venture capital team, visit nationwideventures.com to learn more. Again, the website is nationwideventures.com. Nationwide is on your side. Startups Nation. Welcome back to another episode of the 614 Startups Podcast. My name is Elio Harmon, your host. And listen, man, I got guests, okay? And today I have a very special guest, all right? We have the champion, I mean the reigning champion of Pitch Columbus, the Annie Leibovitz of this startup thing. Give it up for Kristen Brett. Look, I'm doing an introduction like we're doing a live show right now. Guys, in studio today, joining the 614 Startups Podcast, I'd like to introduce my very special guest, Kristen Brown of Rella. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. That is an introduction worthy of a Pitch Columbus champion. I don't want to take for granted that the entire world that's going to listen to this podcast was at Pitch Columbus. So let's start by getting to know Kristen Brown a little bit and how you got into art.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. I have always loved making. You know, I think we're drawn to the things that we enjoy. The idea of looking at the world around you and asking, what if? That's a real startup question. What can we change? And that creative energy of always thinking how things could be iterated and improved is it's a thrill, right? That's why people love the energy of startups. So I've loved that. And I think that I was drawn to art for the social element as well, that you can work independently, work in freelance. A lot of artists work that way, but you also have this collaborative element as well, where you can really work in both of those spaces. So I thought it was the perfect fit for somebody with a pretty strong independent drive, wanting to do things my way. And yeah, so it was a perfect fit.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to give me a little bit more than that, right? We get the idea of the maker, right? You've always been a maker, but what did you make? And not all things made equal art. So how did you get into the world from what just being a tinkerer or maker, I'm making for myself versus I'm making for the world? What got you into the idea of taking what you made and others and what others are making and then giving that to the world?
It was an accident. So I consider myself a reluctant entrepreneur sometimes. When you're looking at the world around you and looking at what can be improved, you can't help but see problems and brainstorm solutions. So I was in a situation where friends opened a co-working space in Franklinton, which in Columbus is really the heart of the creative district. And they said they knew that it was important to have art in their space, but they weren't sure how to go about connecting with artists or what that model would look like. So right in that moment, they came to me, their art friend, their creative friend, and they said, you know, art, can you help us do this? And that's really where the idea sparked. We saw that there could be a different model that made art more accessible for people and that really, you know, solved that problem for spaces that are looking to bring art into their businesses, homes. So yeah, saw a problem, saw a solution, fell into it.
Yeah, accidents are good, right? Accidents are a great, well, not the bad kind of accidents. You know what I mean? A little serendipity, right? Something unexpected.
Yeah.
Especially when that results in helping a friend, right? And that exposes you to a new world of art and how do we help solve this problem? Okay. So now when some people who are listening think of art, they think Mona Lisa, fancy museums, you know, very, very frou-frou.
Yes.
when other people think of art, they think maybe pretentious, like, oh, you know, those people, what are they talking about? It's just a picture of some fruit in a bowl. But what do you think about the role of art, or at least the role that art should play in our lives today?
Yes. Well, and I forgot to mention this at the top, but I'm also an arts educator. So I teach at Columbus College of Art and Design and the History of Art and Visual Culture Department. That's one of the reasons my friends reached out to me for that. So I've been experiencing that side of things. And of course, the art historian in me wants to talk about the role that art can play and think about it as both a window and a mirror. So it reflects back to us our values and our own perspectives. But when you share that with other people, it can actually open a window and give a glimpse into new perspectives, new ways of thinking and perceiving. So that's why art is so transformative. It can spark conversations, build connections. It's a really powerful communicative tool, and it can help us understand ourselves and others. And it's also a driver of economic growth. So in my work now, my aim is for art to be a part of daily life, not a destination or an event or something that feels intimidating, like what you were mentioning. It's really critical that art is accessible, that it's in our real spaces, not just galleries or something that you visit when you're traveling somewhere to a new town. We have makers right here in Columbus that are producing incredible, powerful work, but maybe we don't necessarily know how to engage with it. We want to make that simple and fun and a real experience of discovery that's playing a role in our daily, everyday lives in the spaces where we live and work and even in our homes. So, yeah. I want to shift that.
Yeah, I do believe that art should be a part of our daily lives. I think, but we move so fast that art in daily life requires slowing down, reflecting, actually looking at the painting, actually being inspired by the simple things in life. And I think because we're such a go, 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 go society right now, the contemplative requirement for the appreciation of art, in my opinion, is what's eroding the place that art should play in our lives. But if you put it into economic or financial terms, regardless of the level of appreciation any one generation had for art, what has persisted is this idea of the starving artist, right? You could appreciate it as much as you want, but where is the economic value or the creation of an economic return for the maker? Why do you think, regardless of our level of appreciation, generation to generation or century to century for art, that this persistent starving artist trope has remained with us?
You just opened the door for an art historian. So guess what? I'm gonna take you way back.
Okay.
Because you're right. It is persistent, and we see those swings throughout history. The too long didn't read answer is that the model was not built for artists. It was not built with them in mind. And that's because our relationship with artists and how society as a whole perceives artists and their work has really shifted over time. So taking you way back, historically, artists were considered craftsmen, right? They were regarded socially not much higher than construction teams. So it wasn't really until the Renaissance that we begin to see artists elevated and regarded as genius. This is when we're talking about what you mentioned, Da Vinci, Michelangelo, Raphael, all the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And we look at the role that art was playing in society at that time. It was highly valued because people were talking about it and it was a part of life. Artists were able to band together in guilds and vie for commissions and patrons. And they also set industry pricing standards, which meant that they were able to compete against one another. So they're creating competition. But then if we remember that artists, going back to why I was initially drawn to being an artist, artists are just inherently independent people for the most part. They, we see, you know, of course, personalities vary vastly, But these guilds and collectives, they don't always work. They require strong leadership, continual management, really cohesive vision, and a roadmap to get there. Again, just like startups, so many connections. So they rely on special places. And there's a reason why we don't see that many collectives these days. So when artists go it alone, they're doing all the work alone. That's the making, the actual work of the work, and the marketing. And often they're learning as they go, and that's slowing their economic development. They're not able to spend as much time on the work, the keeping the main thing, and instead they're focusing on all of the distribution, all of the mechanics behind running an arts business to get their work out there. That's why galleries and platforms, even like Etsy, were really instrumental and impactful for artists to be able to manage that for them. People are on those platforms or looking for art in galleries. So it helps with that discovery, which is such a big piece of the puzzle when people are looking for art. And that's really what we're building at Rela. It's a platform for artists to be able to list their available artwork so that they can focus on making the work. And we can manage all of the back end logistics of delivery, installation, payments as an important service for artists while we're boosting their visibility and increasing that sales likelihood. So really, the market as a whole was historically built with top players. Their interests were prioritized. And in some instances, it has and can still be a predatory place for artists. And artists can really get burned. Art critics and collections teams, they have huge budgets for marketing. And they can basically select an artist with a collection that they like, and they can skyrocket a single artist's career, which is incredible. But the artist isn't always cut into all of those deals. Most of the time, they're looking for an artist who has passed. So artwork of artists who are deceased is always more valuable than living artists, which is just, you can see how it's kind of rigged in some ways.
Interesting. All right. So I love it. So the art historian in you came out and you took us all the way back to Da Vinci and the guilds and how art was structured. Yeah. But what's interesting is that Rela, as you've explained, is a platform where people can come and list their art, and you can help those artists with the marketing of their work and That's exposing right. their work while they're still alive. Okay. And I'm sure you'll work with some collections for some people that are past, but you're talking about creating economic value for people today. And you sit, it sounds like, right in between two very big forces. You sit between the establishment, so the art critic with their budgets, and the galleries. Hey, any galleries out there, we're not talking bad about you. We're just stating what's happening.
We work with galleries. Right? We love you.
Yeah. You're talk to Rela, okay? Yeah. They'll work with you. All right. And then Etsy and other platforms like theirs, which are marketplaces where people could place their art and set their own prices and things like that. So what makes Rela and your approach different, since those are the two prevailing options and you feel very much like a third lane?
Yeah, the art market is in a state of disruption right now, and Rela is playing a key role in finding balance for both the artists and the collectors in systems that are historically rooted in inequality. So Rela is a service that installs art in commercial and residential spaces throughout Columbus, without the need of an art dealer. And we're doing that through artwork subscriptions, making any wall part of a citywide, decentralized, democratized, functioning art gallery. So we are a social enterprise platform. It's a distribution model that connects communities with artists in their area through these original artwork subscriptions. Anyone can enroll their walls in our programming to receive delivered art service. Artists are paid each month that their work is on view, and all their work is available for purchase. Subscribers can refresh their work anytime, keeping any space fresh. And it's really a win-win-win. So instead of looking for that balance that you see in the traditional model, we aligned all of the interests and we're able to find a new path that is just an additional path. There's no one right way to succeed in any career. Creative careers are the exact same. But we are expanding art access and art engagement people who might not otherwise be experiencing art in their day-to-day lives. And we're doing that while we're creating consistent revenue streams for artists, simply by making it easier, just making it more convenient to experience and support local art.
That's wonderful. And I think one of the biggest difference between the traditional approaches, right, and even Etsy, is that you have to buy it. It feels very much like you can have access to art without necessarily the obligation of ownership. Let's talk about why, for the artist, that might be an interesting proposition. Because traditionally, if I go to a gallery, the price is what it wants it is. If I want to experience it in my home or my office, I have to pay that price for it. Same thing on Etsy. If I want to support an artist on Etsy, I have to buy it, and hence I own it.
I feel like you're frozen.
The Rella model is different because I can experience the art without owning it. Why is that an interesting proposition for the artist?
For the artist, they circulate their work. So they usually have a program. They're making art. They might be preparing for a show. Maybe they have advance notice. Maybe it's a year. They spend their time focusing on that 1 month show. And if artists are lucky, they might secure 1 to 2 30-day visibility windows for their audience to come and see their work. That's a relatively successful artist, honestly. And that is a narrow window to connect, right? So after that show ends and the work comes back down, it usually goes back to the artist's studio, back into storage. And although artists can sell that work on their websites, if they have that ability, not a lot of artists have e-commerce websites. That's something that most artists don't want to manage. That work is sitting in storage, not generating any revenue.
Today's episode is sponsored by the City of Dublin's Division of Economic Development. The City of Dublin provides world-class tailored business services and resources to ensure the best possible environment for businesses to recruit talent and thrive. Because of this strategic focus and commitment to employer growth, Dublin is the only accredited economic development organization in the state of Ohio. The City of Dublin supports startups and entrepreneurs by offering targeted resources and training programs to grow companies that are financially sustainable, innovative, and committed to creating jobs. Learn how other businesses depend on Dublin. Visit thriveindublinohio.com. This episode is brought to you by KJK. Tired of the billable hour? KJK has a solution. The KJK GC Advantage program offers businesses comprehensive legal services in the areas of employment, corporate services, real estate, trademark, intellectual property, and estate planning, all for a set monthly fee. KJK serves as their clients' partners in business, not just their lawyers. Along with cost certainty and predictability, the KJK GC Advantage program gives clients peace of mind, knowing their projects will be handled quickly and efficiently, maximizing the return on investment on their legal spend. So don't go it alone. Let KJK help. Learn more by visiting kjk.com.
If they enroll their work with our program, we can move that art out of storage and into the world, where it's not only generating passive revenue for them every month that it's on view, it's also really boosting the likelihood that somebody might purchase that piece because they are seeing it. We don't know what's out there unless we are able to have that visibility as consumers. Consumers are all the people that we're talking with are saying that one of their biggest barriers is sourcing. They just don't know where to find the art. They might be intimidated by going into galleries. They might be intimidated going to open studio events like we have in Franklinton. Even though artists are warm and welcoming, maybe they don't feel like they have the language, or they aren't cool enough. You know, a lot of our subscribers are not people who would identify as art lovers. They're people who are more art curious. They want to get involved. They see the value of art, but they don't know much about it. So by making a simple, accessible, convenient platform as a service for both the artists to get their work out there and for people who are looking for art, but they don't want to source, they don't want to deal with the logistics of delivery and installation. It's a really streamlined and aligned approach. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I don't know the art market. And so this is getting more and more interesting by the minute. Guys, you can see why she is the reigning champion at Pitch Columbus. Okay. When you start to get into this art stuff, it's hard not to get hooked on it. All right. So let's talk about, you're starting in Columbus as the market. How many artists at scale, right? Thinking about scale, how many artists do you foresee in Columbus that would be a good fit for this model? Meaning they actually have collections in storage or in a coffee shop somewhere that they're not earning revenue on, but that's where they're displaying their art to see if somebody wants to buy it. And, you know, what kind of market size are we talking in terms of artists on the platform and just the art market in Columbus in general?
I'm glad you asked about the art market in Columbus, because I was thinking about the art market generally, and it is an insane market. As we already mentioned, it's a $70 billion market that outpaces the S&P because it's not real, right? It's unindexable, it's illiquid, and it relies on just a couple of people. So in Columbus, we're able to take something like that and scale it down. So by making it local, it's more tangible and more meaningful. We're adding that context around it. If you look at artist listings on websites like the Greater Columbus Arts Council, there are hundreds and hundreds of makers in the city of artists that are producing quality work. Many of them have shows in the Columbus Museum of Art and are showing both nationally and even globally. So we work with artists who are at any stage in their careers. Any maker, anyone producing work, from somebody that's emerging, just starting out, just learning their market and wanting to get some things out into the world to get that data and feedback in that iterative business model, to very established career full-time artists who just have such big collections that they need to get that work out into the world for storage more than anything else. And they understand, they've been in the career long enough that they understand that it's a really good model to diversify their revenue streams. So they're saying yes to opportunities that are the right fit for them, that aren't predatory. And they see Rela as an awesome yes opportunity that helps diversify those revenue streams. We even work with artists who are really at the end of their careers, or they are kind of creating in their retirement period, and they don't even want to label themselves as artists. They just make really great work. So those are the artists that we're working with. And the thing is, when you're driven to create, I mean, you might see this with serial entrepreneurs. Once you get that thrill, you want to keep making. So artists are producing at a pretty incredible rate. And when we tell them, hey, we have a proposal, and they mentioned they like your work, but all of your work is actually already on view. Do you have anything else? Can you make anything else? They jump at the opportunity. They love it. So it's a really great fit for everyone, again, because all of those interests are aligned. Yeah, I think it's a great market.
Yeah, no need to be sorry. No, I just had to kind of jump in there because I'm getting excited about it. I mean, we have hundreds of people. We have all of this inventory that's not on the market, and Rela is going to bring this inventory on the market. So how are you getting the word out to these artists? How are you platforming them? And then what's the process by which, if a customer becomes a Rela customer, do you get that art in their hands?
So for artists, Rela is a free service. We're eliminating the need for artists to pay for marketing or an art dealer or a broker. They're still absolutely welcome to do that. Again, this is just an additional path. But by removing that barrier, we're boosting their visibility, getting their work out, and we're always accepting new artists. It's an open door policy, and that keeps our inventory fresh and exciting for our customers, who are able to refresh their work on demand anytime they want. For subscribers, Rela is this convenient way to discover art, support artists, and connect with the creative community. So when commercial spaces reach out, we set up a site visit on site at their location. We tour the space, learn about their goals, and how they want visitors and clients and employees to experience those spaces. Then we can create an estimate. They'll have the option to even instantly launch our services right then and there. We also offer curation, mock-ups, and a custom portal that they can share with decision makers, because usually in commercial spaces, there's multiple decision makers. And then for folks looking to bring artwork into their homes, Rella makes it easy. So we just launched this virtual wall curation service that allows anyone to receive mockups of their wall. All you have to do is snap a photo, answer a couple of questions, and then we're able to send three options for artwork on that wall and just schedule delivery, just like any other service that you would do right on your phone. You can also browse our art gallery, our online gallery, at any time. It is currently the largest real-time inventory of local Columbus art. You can find any piece that strikes your fancy and hit subscribe, launching your subscription immediately from there. Yeah.
So I've checked out Rella and the whole business model, and it's quite interesting. You have to go on the website. You have to see what she's talking about in terms of the inventory of Columbus art available for you to look at and experience either in your commercial space or at home. But now the people want to know. It's free to the artist. The subscriber essentially fractionally experiences the art by becoming a member of Rella. But how do you, Rella, make money?
Yep, exactly. Our program is not pay to play for artists. We don't want to create that financial burden for them. We consider, you know, there are vendors. So because of this model, there's very little cost associated with our inventory. We earn on our services of curation, display, delivery, installation, and those on-demand refreshes that I mentioned. We also earn on artwork sales. So if you're not interested in the subscription model, you can just purchase instantly off of the website. And our display plans right now start at just $45 a month. So our model is really a win-win-win for everyone when it comes to earning. So spaces get to enjoy art for a fraction of the cost. Artists are earning on work that they might not otherwise be generating any revenue from. And then Rella is earning on the related services. So through that revenue, we're able to provide our value to the community and to the artists that we're working with.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that as a future art consumer. As you can see, our wall is quite in need of some.
Yeah, we need to get some art in there.
Yeah, what's going on at 614 Startups? Let's fix that. But so I like it. And I'm just going to repeat this because it bears repeating. So number one is from the subscriptions, is how you guys generate revenue.
That's right.
Number two is from the installation. Yeah, guys, I'm not going to be just using a hammer and nail, putting some nails on the wall and trying to hang some of Columbus's most promising artist art on my wall. You guys professionally install that. And then number three, let's say somebody walks in here. Hey, who's that awesome? You know, what's that awesome painting? I want to buy it. That's if I let them have it, of course. But you guys also make a commission from the sales of the art. So that's great that you have three options in terms of your business model that you can experiment with and see what's going to be most profitable and most sustainable for both you and your customers who are experiencing your art. All right. Well, we know that Pitch Columbus is the high. That's about as high as anyone can go. All right. But I'm sure you've had other highs as you've built Rella, but also some challenges as well, which come with building a startup. So what have been some of the challenges and successes you've experienced as the founder of Rella?
Yeah, I mean, disruption is hard. So we're disrupting an established market, and that takes education and storytelling and time. So being patient throughout that, I want to move fast. And usually honestly, when we share this with people, it resonates. It clicks because people understand that we're in a new economic landscape. More people are valuing experiences over ownership. And we need to have a model to be able to support artists within that new economic landscape. So that resonates. It's when you talk to the right audience that it makes sense. Another challenge is we're working to change narratives around the value of art in our lives. So if someone comes with a preconceived relationship with art that, oh, that's not for me, that's only for the wealthy elite. We're trying to change that narrative and reframe that relationship with art. Say, no, it's truly meant for everyone. Artists make work to be viewed by any eyeballs, even yours. So changing that narrative. And then more directly, I guess, seeing art as an afterthought in the design budget of commercial spaces. So when we need to have those conversations with developers earlier and commercial spaces earlier in the design process, so they are aware of the value that art is bringing to their clients and visitors and employees, but also that they're actually thinking about how much in their budget to reserve for that. So those have been some of the challenges thus far.
Yeah.
Among all regular startup. Yeah.
All regular startup stuff. That storytelling piece, you know, mm-hmm. communicating with your market, making sure you have those great first customers that are really going to be advocates of your business, like I know we will be in the future. Let's talk about just the financial side, right? How do we get this thing to scale? What do you need to get to your next level? How are you going out into the community, whether it be by events or exhibits? What's next as you take, you know, as you move this company forward over the next year or two?
Yes, it takes everything. You have to do all of it at the same time. So we are experiencing growth. This year, our focus was awareness. So you were right, we're going out into the community, telling our story, getting in front of more audiences. And that has been pretty incredible. Last year, we won Sea Change Social Entrepreneurship Accelerator Program. We were nominated for Social Enterprise of the Year, the Aspire Award. We got some articles in the Dispatch and Columbus Underground and the Metropreneur. So I'm really, really proud of that work, but there's much more work to be done. There's always more work ahead, right? So yes, we are continuing to enroll new spaces like nonprofit headquarters, corporate offices, and of course, homes and offices. We are growing our team. I cannot do this alone. I do not want to do this alone. So we're working with a director of growth marketing. We brought on an artist coordinator to help manage those relationships. And we are expanding the team with a sales-focused role as we're building out our operations. We do have a new plan in the works. This would be so it's in research and development still, but this would be a shipped model of our current service, but it's shrunken down. So it's small. And we have a sign-up form there where we're doing what businesses should do. We're asking our potential target markets, tell me what you think about this. Are you interested in this? And we're doing that through a form. Anyone can sign up at rella.art/smallworks. And we're also fundraising. We're raising right now. We have some really exciting conversations with investment partnerships, sponsorships. So if you are excited about our work or know someone who may want to help push Rella further faster, I would love to connect. So I'm sure there's a way to share my contact information in this, but my email is info@rella.art. That's just info@rela.art. Yeah, looking to connect.
Yeah, there you go. The most important email you're ever yes. gonna regret not emailing, right? That email right there. So you better email it now while she's in the early stages. All right, Kristen, I think this was a bomb conversation. We're going to see you next week because you're the reigning champion and yes. you're going to come in with that strapadactyl, that reigning champion belt that we just got, as Theo Vaughn likes to say, because you deserve it. You've yes. earned it. And I'm telling you guys, if you've ever heard Kristen pitch and you really get into the intricacies of this business, you could see why she won Sea Change. You could see why she's up for the Aspire Award. And you'll know why she's the reigning champion of Pitch Columbus. So here's my final word. Guys, art makes life better. If you're moving through this life too fast to stop and smell the proverbial roses, then take an opportunity to check out Rella. Find something that inspires you. And add a little token either in your office or at home to remind you to slow down. All right, folks, this is Elio Harmon, AKA your yogi. Slow it down. Hit that subscribe button. Become part of the 614 Startups Nation. Kristen, thank you so much for your time. And to everybody out there, thank you for listening. Until next time, peace. That's a wrap, folks. You can find this and all our episodes on our website, 614startups.com,
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and all your favorite podcasting platforms. Don't forget to subscribe and write a review. If you'd like updates sent directly to your inbox, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter on the website. To engage in the 614 Startups community, follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at 614 Startups on all platforms and join the conversation. For sponsorship opportunities and collaborations, email us at info@614startups.com.